I'm going to read the first five verses of Exodus chapter 3. Now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the backside of the desert and came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush, and he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. And Moses said, I will now turn aside to see this great sight, why the bush is not burnt. When the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, Here am I. And he said, Draw not nigh hither. Put off thy shoes from thy feet, for the place whereon thou standest is holy ground. The name of the message this afternoon is When God Gets Into Something. Earlier we talked about revival. The preaching has been about revival today. And we cannot have revival unless God gets into this. We are merely going to be used by God to do His work. Okay, so God has to get into it. And when God gets into something, the first thing that's going to happen is the common is going to become uncommon. And right there in verse 1, Now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian. He led the flock to the backside of the desert and came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. Know what that is? That's a regular job. You go out to work every day, you're going to the common, right? You're stocking shelves, or you're doing this, or you're doing that, or whatever you're doing at work, doesn't matter. You're going, you do that daily. And the world gets along with the common. As a matter of fact, folks like common, because there aren't any problems with common. But when God gets into something, even your job, even your family relationships, no matter what it is going to become uncommon. You see, the time that Moses was out there with his father-in-law, he got himself a wife and he got himself a family. This was just another day to him. He was going out and he was moving the flock out there. All of a sudden, he comes back to the mountain of God. And what does he see? He sees a bush on fire. So when you're in work, and something happens out of the ordinary, how do you handle that? Do you say, oh, that's what's this coincidence all about? Or do you say, this is a God incident? Okay. Moses, would he have been happy maybe keeping that flock and just doing that for the rest of his days? I don't think so. A child of God is not going to be happy just doing the common. So when you go to work each day and God has something for you, don't get all ruffled when things don't go the way you expect them to do every day. Things are going to become uncommon. He went from tending to sheep to thinking about calling the fire department because he sees a bush on fire. And, you know, there are a lot of Christians go about today and they're concerned about themselves and their families, which we ought to be. And they're concerned about maybe their bank accounts and they're concerned about those things that affect them. But being a child of God, we ought to have more concern about a lost and dying world that's around us. You see, Moses was out in the desert over there, and he left behind almost a million folks back in Egypt. And I think he had a concern about them, and God was going to use them, him, to go back and be a testimony to them. Sometimes God wants to use you to be a testimony to your co-workers, maybe to be a testimony to your family, and maybe to be a testimony to somebody you never saw that you meet out on the street here in Woonsocket. Just going across the street, walking down and giving somebody a Bible tract and letting the common become the uncommon. You know, when God gets into something, something is going to get on fire. Okay, something is going to get on fire. Out in the desert over there, just a regular day of tending the sheep, something got on fire. You know, over in Psalm 39:3, the Bible says, my heart was hot within me. My heart was hot within me while I was musing, the fire burned. Then spake I with my tongue. Christian, there ought to be something burning inside of you. I don't expect you to walk down Cumberland Street and see a bush on fire, and if you do, maybe you need to call the fire department. But there ought to be something burning inside of your heart. As I said earlier, we had these four preachers that come up, and it was preaching time. Said, if you're not stirred from that, then maybe you need to have your pulse checked. And the same thing, if you are a born-again, Bible-believing Christian, you know this book right here. You've been saved by the blood of Jesus Christ. There ought to be something burning inside your heart. When Jeremiah wanted to give up the ministry, and he was thinking about that, and I always thought, I said, how does a preacher give up the ministry? How does once God calls you to preach the book, how do you ever stop that? I can't figure it out. Okay, but over in Jeremiah 20, verse 9, the Bible says this, then I said, I will not make mention of him. Stop talking about God? I can't even think of it. I can't fathom it. Nor speak any more in his name. But his word, this book right here, this Bible, was in mine heart as a burning fire shut up in my bones. And I was weary with forbearing and I could not stay. He was more tired fighting the urge to want to go preach than he was. And if he would have preached 5-10 different preaching services in the course of an afternoon. That's what God called him to do. If you're a Bible believer, don't think you need to be a pastor or a preacher, an evangelist, a missionary. All you need to be is saved. Amen. To get the burning right here in your heart so you can go out and tell your coworkers, your family, your friends, and even some stranger you meet out on the street here in Woonsocket and surrounding areas. Get the fire in your heart. Something's got to get on fire. Hey, something will get on fire. Not if you're running things. Only if God's in it. When God gets into something, something is getting on fire. Thirdly, God is going to speak to his people. God is going to speak to his people. Over here in verse 4, we see, when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, here am I. Now, that was God speaking face to face. Now, you might say, God hasn't really spoken to me recently. Well, friend, again, if you're a Bible believer, you have a Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit dwelling inside of you. He is going to reveal things to you, not only just the word, but those things that God wants you to do. Hey, secondly, you've got the written word. This Bible is as good as if God was standing in front of you, speaking it to you himself. Why? Because it is his written word. We can trust it that everything in this book is true and right to the point. God doesn't change. God doesn't lie. 2 Corinthians, and the devil's playing heck with the wind today. Hey, with 2 Corinthians 13:3, the Bible says this, since ye seek a proof of Christ speaking in me, which to you word is not weak, but is mighty in you. If you're speaking the words up here, not your own words, it's Christ speaking in you. Preachers, you're merely mouthpieces. Missionaries, evangelists, you're merely mouthpieces. Christian, you are merely a mouthpiece who can be used only as much as you allow God to use you. Don't think, I ain't got a seminary education. I ain't got this. I don't speak very well. Moses said the same thing. Paul said the same thing. I don't speak very well. Paul's what you saw him in person, he didn't look very imposing. But God used him. Okay? Moses is going to go back and talk to a bunch of Jewish folks that really don't want to hear it for right now, because when he does get back there, he says, God's going to bring you out of Egypt. And at first they're excited until the Egyptians say, you Israelites are too idle. So from now on, we're not going to get you any straw. You're going to go out and make your own straw and get your own straw. And then you'll make the same amount of bricks you made before this guy Moses came back to rouse things up around here. And so he came back there, and that's what's going to happen with your word. You go tell people how to get saved, how to have a home in heaven, know what's going to happen? They're going to start getting mad at you. folks might say, I don't want to hear that. You know what? And I think one of the easiest things for myself is when I witness the folks that I don't know. But then when you get down to the folks that you work with, and then when you get down to folks that you're related to, gets a little more difficult, doesn't it? You know why? Because those folks, especially if you got saved, they knew when you supposedly got saved, they knew you when you weren't a Christian. And they started to say things like, I remember God didn't change you. I remember when you used to do this and do that. You know, over in Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 and 2, the Bible says this: God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, the Old Testament prophets, the prophets came at that time. We have them in writing. But they stood before men, as preachers do today. We preach the word of God. They were given new revelation by God, and they shared that with the Israeli people, the Jewish people. In verse 2 says this: hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, in whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the world. You know what? When we speak, we can say that these are the very words of Christ. The very words of Jesus. If you get a little nervous about speaking to folks, two things. Number one, always remember it's God speaking, not you. This message comes from God, nothing of your own making. Secondly, let's get soul conscious about people. Remember, each body, each person is a soul. Don't get people conscious. When you start to be people conscious, you start to worry about what they're going to think about you, and you start to worry about them saying things about you. What you ought to be thinking about is one day that body is going to die, and that soul is going to go on forever, and you want them to be in hell thinking about that no good evangelist who didn't even have time to give me the word of God. That no good Christian didn't even have time to share the word of God with me. God forbid that that would ever happen. Please reach out to folks. Get the fire going in your heart. Fourthly, there will be humble obedience. There will be humble obedience. Verse 5 says this, and he said, draw not nigh hither. Don't come near this bush. Put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place whereon thou standest is holy ground. It's holy ground. And remember, I didn't bring this out earlier in the preaching, but over in verse 2, it doesn't say an angel of the Lord. It says the angel of the Lord. I believe that was an Old Testament Christophany. Maybe not everybody may agree with that, but I believe Jesus appeared there, and it was God himself who gave Moses his commission to go back down there in Egypt and to do what he had to do. If not, there would have been a whole generation of folks lost. Out here in the streets of Woonsocket and Blackstone and North Smithfield and Boroughville and Lincoln and wherever else, are we going to allow a whole generation of folks to be lost? Why? Because we felt like, maybe sitting at home and watching a sporting event, or sitting at home and doing something else and just not passing out the word of God, or maybe not going somewhere. When God calls you, you got to go. I don't know who it was in our family said, yeah, I think it might have been my father-in-law said one time, way back before you were saved, wanted a priest to come out to visit his brother who had some problems. And the priest told him, you know, this is a Roman Catholic church, he told him, he says, when he comes out to church more, maybe I'll go out and see him. I'll guarantee you, friends, my phone rings at 10 o'clock, and somebody says, I need to know how to get saved. I'm not going to say, well, sorry, the 10 o'clock news is on. Maybe I can come see you tomorrow about 2, because that person needs Christ now. And if you're going to minister, you want to be called by the name of Christ, you want to serve him, then get serious about it. Get serious today. Today is the day to get serious about these things. And finally, it will be something that you will never forget. It'll be something that you will never forget. Over in Deuteronomy 16, the history of Israel and talking about the things that God has done. Deuteronomy 16 verse 3 says this: thou shalt eat no leavened bread with it. 7 days shalt thou eat unleavened bread therewith, even the bread of affliction. For thou camest forth out of the land of Egypt in haste, that thou mayest remember that day when thou camest forth out of the land of Egypt, all the days of thy life. The day that Christ saves you ought to be something that you remember all the days of your life. See, Moses was going back to Egypt because there was a people, the Jewish people, that were in slavery. They were in bondage, and he was going to release them. People today, this country, the United States of America, is representative of Egypt. Why do I say that? Because Egypt was a type of the world. Look around you today. God has been taken out of the schools. He's been taken out of the government. He's been taken out of the families. The problems in this country, don't think about a political candidate or somebody to do that for you. The only hope for the United States of America is a turning back to God. Nothing else. Once we get serious about that, and the fact that Christ died for our sins on Calvary, people are going to get serious as well. When Moses went back there, he was going back to a people in bondage. There are people in bondage in the streets of the United States of America. They're in bondage to sin. They're in bondage to pornography. They're in bondage to gambling. They're in bondage to drinking, drugging, being addicted to sports. They're in bondage to all these other kinds of things out there. And guess what? They have put God on the bottom shelf. And until folks, Christians, us, get serious, then maybe the world will see it and say, those folks are serious. When Christians go to church, and then after church is done, they put their Bible up on the shelf and dust it off the following Sunday to go back to church, the world ain't going to take you seriously. So friends, when God gets into something, it's going to be big. Okay, and as we said before when we prayed, you can ask God to use you, and you can ask God to make big things happen, but be prepared. Buckle your seatbelt, because the things that happen may be unpleasant at times. They may not always be fun, but God is ready to take you in things that you don't know. God's going to get into things that are going to make big things happen. You know, if you're sitting here today, and you're a Christian, I'm going to make an appeal to you right now. When you leave today at 2 o'clock or in the vicinity thereof, please get serious about your faith. Get serious about what God did for you. And go out there and become an evangelist. And friends, if you're sitting, if there's anybody here today that is not saved, and you may not know what I'm talking about, but the bottom line is, if I would ask you a question, if you died today, would you know where you're going? If you couldn't tell me whether you were going to heaven or you were going to hell, the chances are you're probably not saved. The chances are you're probably not saved. The Bible says that we're all sinners, okay? God came, Jesus came in the flesh to release us from the bondage of sin. And if you're a saved person, amen, praise be to God, you're saved, you're on your way to heaven, and the sin problem has been taken care of. But if you're not, then that's got to be taken care of now. It's a busy road out here. You could cross that street, get hit by a car, and get killed. Next time, in the next second, wake up in flames of fire for eternity. No remedy. No remedy in sight. But Jesus Christ came to die for your sins on Calvary. The Bible says we need to repent of our sins. We need to turn 180 degrees opposite direction from where it says we need to take an attitude of sin that God has and hate that sin and turn from it. And you know what? I don't care what you've done. I don't want to hear what you've done. I don't care what your sin is. God is able to forgive you. God is able to forgive the worst murderer that ever lived. I read a testimony years back of Ted Bundy. He was a serial killer down in Florida, down in Louisiana, and he got the death penalty a number of years back. He got saved on death row. God's able to save that man. I heard the story of Son of Sam, David Berkowitz, killed a bunch of people in New York, summer of 77, went to jail. He got saved. God saved him. God doesn't put restrictions on your sin. Let's have a word of prayer and let's close. I want you to think while we're praying, think seriously about this. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word. We thank you that your Son, Jesus Christ, went to the cross of Calvary, died for our sins upon the hill of Calvary. Lord, we know that he didn't shed that blood in vain. But if there's someone here today that has not appropriated that blood to their own selves, if they have not asked Jesus to forgive them, Lord, let this be the day they call out to God, say, Jesus, forgive me. I am a sinner. I need to be saved now. And Lord, please forgive them. We know your word says you'll forgive them as sure as they're asking for it. But I please ask the Holy Spirit just to press it upon their hearts. They need to be saved now. And Lord, I pray for the Christian out here today. I would pray that that the Christian would let go of the laissez-faire attitude of just going along with the crowd and get serious about you. Our time is short. Lord, the Father knows when the Son is coming back. We don't know that, but it could be today. Lord, from whatever time that we have left here, let each and every one of us, each and every one of us, get serious about the business of winning souls, so that you may heal this land. Lord, and we just ask these things in Christ's name. Amen.